Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As Sioux Falls residents share photos online of patio tables embedded into the sides of houses and trees frosted with bits of insulation, we pause to stand in awe of the power of a tornado and straight-line winds. As residents toss the evidence of the 2019 tornadoes into the dumpster, we look back at what remains of another Sioux Falls tornado, this one from 1932. Kevin Gans is curator of education at the Siouxland Heritage Museums, and he joins us now in the SDPB Sioux Falls studios with the story. Hey, Kevin, thanks for stopping by.
Hi, Lori. It's my pleasure to be here today.
Not our first tornado,
Our first tornado. Probably won't be our last, but right. let's not hope.
But let's go back to 1932, because this is a different time, and we have some pretty clear evidence of what this tornado was like.
It's one of those stories that starts out just like everything. It was a beautiful day, and everybody was out. You know, it was a Saturday. Everybody was out, and there were people playing golf at Minnehaha. There were people in the parks having picnics. And, you know, it's one of those things. The afternoon starts getting dark and gray, and everybody's looking up, and you know, they start leaving. And pretty soon, a pretty fantastic tornado is going to rip through the city.
And there's really not the kind of warnings that we have now either. So really looking to the sky to sort of find out that something's coming.
Well, you know, even when you look back at the history, you know, they can't even decide on whether it's a tornado, it's a cyclone, there's straight line winds. And it's things we still deal with today. But yeah, there was little to no warning on this one. People were going about their day, but you know, the storm breaks and people are taking shelter. It starts with hail. They're talking the size of golf balls, the size of then baseballs at different times. But then this pretty, you know, large twister will set down in the southern part of Sioux Falls. And people are literally watching this, and it comes through, coincidentally, really in the same neighborhood of where this one set down near 41st Street and Kiwanis just the other night. It came ripping through the area, and the biggest landmark at that point was the 41st Street Bridge over the river, and also a dance hall called the Neptune that was down behind what would be Target today, close to the river. And it came through, it swept through the Neptune grounds. Now, the poor Neptune had been struck by lightning the year before, had been completely demolished. They had just rebuilt, held a huge dance in May of 32 to reopen. July 9th was not going to be so good for them. Completely destroys the dance hall. And it picks up the 41st Street Bridge, tears it apart, sends one of the steel I-beams right through a cottonwood tree. Will continue its track south and really kind of skirted along that southern edge. Now, we often think that long ago, well, there couldn't have been that much down there, but that was South Sioux Falls. There were people living down there. There were businesses. It hit Sioux Skyways, which is where the Western Mall is today. Men jumped into a sand pit to take shelter, and they say it kind of lifted up around where South Minnesota Avenue is at the time, known as Hazelville. And unfortunately, that's where a fatality took place as well.
Oh, no. Do we know who died or how?
A young man, he was at the Green Gables Cabins, which was a little cabin down there in the trees down by the river. And he and his wife tried to take shelter underneath one of the cabins. And they think he was kind of crawling under the cabin to take shelter. And the tornado lifted up the cabin and then set it back down. Mm. And unfortunately pinned him underneath. And he later died from his injuries. So
tell me how we have photographs of this tornado, because again, photography is, I mean, now we've got people with digital cameras, you know, shooting out windows, which maybe they shouldn't be doing, but we have really good images of this thing.
Some really great images too. A young girl was leaving, you know, they had been at the park and they were, you know, they were leaving to get out of it. People who were in autos tried to make their way away from it. And, you know, she turned around and she snapped a great picture. I mean, it's like something out of The Wizard of Oz.
Exactly what it reminds you of.
When you look at it, absolutely. So, you know, so we got some really great images, but perhaps the most tangible evidence is, as I mentioned, we've got this I-beam that got stuck in a tree, and they cut the tree down, and the I-beam is still there. And the Neptune, of course, would rebuild, and they used to display this I-beam from the bridge sticking through the tree at the Neptune. And today, that same I-beam and tree trunk is sitting on the first floor of the old Courthouse Museum, and you can still come and visit it.
And many, many people do, because as you walk through the museum, it's pretty, it's a really interesting artifact. Kids especially go nuts over it.
I've worked for the museum for 23 years, and it has pretty much been on permanent display the entire time that I've worked there. And it is, it's one of those things, especially when we get out-of-state tourists who come into the museum, and it's right there in a prominent spot right in the first floor, and people just come in, and they're amazed by the power. And that is the thing. It, you know, people are amazed by the power of what a tornado can do.
Right, and we still are. That has not changed, as you sort of see the strange remnants of things that you maybe feel like you should expect, but that you don't.
They're, you know, absolutely horrible. And unfortunately, we get a lot of photographs at the museum of the aftermath of a tornado, occasionally some clips of an actual storm itself. But they're really scary events when you read about, you know, people's experience of being in it and what they did. You know, it's a terrifying situation.
So as a museum, where do you get some of these, you know, how do you piece together the story of what happened? You know, was it newspaper reports for the time? Is it how you sort of piece together the story to tell this story to the community for over the years?
A lot of times, you know, you can start in the newspaper because, of course, people were there. They wanted to talk. They wanted, you know, they talk specifically about this storm. People started immediately calling the Argus Leader because they had hailstones in their yard and they wanted to, they wanted to have the record hailstone at their house. so they said the phones were ringing off the hook at the Argus Leader. But, you know, it's a lot of personal accounts, and I think that's one of the things. As a museum, we always say we can't protect all of the history. We can't collect all of the history of people. We need families and people to collect their own history. But a lot of that does get passed down, and it ends up in the museum. And we end up with some really great firsthand accounts of people in really interesting in historical situations. So, and that's our job, is to share that with people so that they understand.
All right. And as you look around and see people, I mean, I guess I don't even know. Maybe your own house is a pile of sticks right now. But when you look around and you see people who are processing these three tornadoes now, what do you think they should say for their own family history, for their own family stories?
Well, you know, we're in the digital age now. Everybody's taking photographs of everything, and it's really hard. You know, print those photos out. You know, try to keep them. You know, we really worry in this digital age how much of this history, this photographic history, will still have in 50 to 100 years. But have some people write down some experience. We don't journal. We don't do diaries necessarily as much anymore. But, you know, try to think a little bit about what, you know, your family might want to think about, you know, 50 years down the road of what this experience was like.
Paying attention to that is really important.
Absolutely.
In that new way. Yeah. Everything can't be on your phone.
Exactly.
Kevin Gans is curator of exhibits at the Siouxland Heritage Museum's big exhibit right now.
We just opened our newest exhibit, and that is our motorcycle exhibit. So if motorcycles are your thing, come on down to see us. And of course, coming up this fall, we'll be marking the 100th anniversary of both the Votes for Women and also Prohibition. So.
All right. We'll have more conversations about that. Hey, Kevin, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Lori.